Your parenthood is a holy vocation from the Lord and deeply important in a way you are preparing the next generation of people in the church. And so fathers step up, mothers step up, you know, and you have little disciples in your home.
All right. Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Danny Doherty, and you are listening to Beyond the Message podcast. Danny, thanks for being here. You're fresh off the stage.
Yeah.
Come down into the nether regions of the kids ministry area.
And, that's what they call it. Many people are calling it
next
that.
Next to the lily pad room and the dog pounds right across the street.
Yeah.
All the names.
A few months ago, we did before the message, and this time it's right after the message.
Yeah, we've had that a couple of times. We did that with Matt the other week. Since he's a teacher and couldn't really make it here on Monday morning. So
love it.
But also we've got Labor Day. So you guys are listening to this on Labor Day. By God's grace, thankfully, are also not in the office, have the day off and can recover from kickoff. You guys had a pretty sweet welcome week experience last week, and great. I mean, I mentioned that in announcements. That was fun just to come in. Play a little part. I got to serve some snow cones, and it was pretty sweet just to see all the energy and efforts and connection happening with students. So that was a lot of fun just to be able to serve our college students and serve part of the ministry and play a small part there the other week. So, what, Danny, maybe just before we jump into this stuff, just thinking like you have a couple stories from kickoff week that maybe just like jump to the front of your mind as like, this is why we do this.
This is worth it. I'd love to share a few. I mean, it's impossible for me. I mean, this is only my second time, you know, doing welcome week kickoff, but it's impossible to end that and not be grateful just at what God has done. Cause I'm not going to lie. Every time you show up that first Monday night of like a welcome week event, you have the moment 15 minutes before and you're like, is anyone going to show up? Like, you know, people are just going to come, you know, but God by his grace through, you know, stirring up the zeal of students who know Jesus to invite people and like, you know, passing on the faith, by God's grace always brings people. So that was fun to just see a great turnout. But even more importantly from that, one of my favorite things is that a ton of students that came on Sunday came on Thursday in our church building to actually be here and invited to church on Sunday and all those things. I was sharing a little bit during the services, but got to give out a ton of Bibles. And so we actually need more, which is a great problem.
Yeah, we are
out of the giveaway
Bibles right now.
I was about to give those nice leather ones. No, I'm kidding. I couldn't do that. Those nice leather ones out for free.
Dock it from your pay.
Yeah. That would bring my annual salary down from 6,000 to, no, I'm just kidding. They pay me well here. They take care of me, but I don't know what to say. It's a normal salary. but anyway, it's just sweet to give away so many copies of God's Word to people who have never had it before. But even more than that, got to be in two conversations with people who were wanting a Bible. One of them who said, hey, I'm an agnostic, but this is my first time I've been in a church in 7 years and wanted a Bible and encouraged her to read John. And just sweet that like, hey, God's using ways to get people in this church building, you know, and using friends. And then another student I got to talk to that had just a hard first week of being pressured to, you know, be in the party scene and these types of things, but like was like through Salt Company and connections she made, like felt God calling her, like, you need to be here Thursday night, and brought a friend and was impacted by that. Sweet. And actually the sermon was on like, what type of community does God call you to? And so just kind of cool to see some of those stories of why we do Welcome Week and Kickoff, of like, we are meeting students at a vulnerable time in their life where they're asking, who am I going to be? What's my community going to be? What am I going to give my life to? And to get to invite them into making their life about the gospel of Christ was – so really sweet things there. Hoping and praying for more stories to come out over the coming months. That's usually how it happens. You don't always know what happened until months down the line, because so much happens internally.
Yep.
There's always growth under the soil before it sprouts up. And so I'm hoping and praying a lot of things that were planted come to fruition and sprout over the coming months. But God's grace, I had mentioned – on Sunday morning, got to see about 375 students in our building on Thursday night.
That's sweet.
The reason we get excited about that isn't numbers for numbers' sake or a platform or that salt's great, but behind those numbers are stories of students coming to hear the gospel. And so excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, sweet. Hey, as we're talking about the next generation, let's go to your text yesterday and message. Well, today. This is – I feel like
we're time traveling.
We're bridging the space-time continuum here. But just your message. So we're in two places, Judges 2:16-15 and Titus 2:2 two through eight. And then again, just you did a great job walking through kind of those two things working together to kind of land in this spot of understanding that as a church, being a next generation church means that we're laboring to pass on the faith and living as a pattern of the faith. So, which I love just that working together, that idea of it's not this like, hey, we've arrived and like it's all for us to like, but also not like a, hey, you're so needed. Like it is this, mm-hmm. like this delicate balance of like pour in, pour out, but also like don't make it about yourself too much. Like you're not that big of a deal. Which I mean, you read the gospel and understand what following Christ is like. You pretty quickly can come to an understanding of your own depravity and need for God's grace and how much you need that for yourself, but also have an opportunity to give that to other people. So Danny, as always on the podcast here, we like to start off. I mean, this isn't really the first question. We've already talked about a bunch of stuff, but if you were to include something else in your message or expand on anything you preach about, what would that be?
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned this more at the 11 than the 8 and 9:30, which is like if I was going to go back and preach something again, I would have talked more about the importance of the faith being passed down within a household and family is deeply important. And I actually talked to Garrett Hufford a little bit after the 9:30. He's like, hey, like, you know, thank you for preaching. Here's one thing to consider when you're challenging the middle generations to prepare to be a pillar of faith. Remind them they have people to pour into now in their homes, and that the calling to be a father or mother is a deeply important thing. And I'd thought about that during the sermon prep process, but maybe just got a little more lost as I was talking about other things. And so at the 11, I made that call to those middle generations, but wanted more in depth to be like, hey, like your parenthood is a holy vocation from the Lord and deeply important in a way you are preparing the next generation of people in the church. And so fathers step up, mothers step up, you know, and you have little disciples in your home.
Yeah.
And specifically, I did have this where I wanted to go and just ran out of time was I think it's 2 Timothy 1:3-5. Yeah, where Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you consistently in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. And then he says this, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a true faith, he's saying. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And just those already generations of faith in Timothy's life, I assume in some way his father wasn't in the picture. I don't know the whole story, but regardless, God had used generations of sincere faith of a grandmother and a mother to then impact this protege of Paul, this like pastor in the faith, you know, who had a huge impact on, you'd assume, Christianity, you know, in the early first centuries of the church. And so just wanted to expand more on that of, man, this family discipleship is part of being the next generation church. So don't want to lose that. Always looking back, like, oh, I wish I would have said that. So one thing that at least you guys are hearing. But
Well, I was an 8 and you didn't explicitly go there, but I felt the weight of that just as my three boys are sitting next to me and like, yep, this is – we're in it. And it's not – but it's also I think that balance of like – I think a challenge to parents too of like, don't just make your responsibility of pursuing people just about, but also don't neglect that for the other like discipleship out there. Like that balance of there is an importance. There may be a primary responsibility here, but also that doesn't allow you to kind of coast on the calling outside of your home. So
And the next generation needs to see how you disciple your kids, and in discipling your kids, you're discipling them too. There's like these layers to it, right?
Kirsten leaned over me during the service. She's like, I love when like young men come over and like get to play with our boys. And they get to see just like guys sold out and like pursuing the Lord, and just that like special relationship that they get to have of like seeing, you know, good like role models and people that they can look up to. And like, I mean, I think Thursday after school, I picked the boys up and rolled back in here, and you guys were getting set up for your first Thursday night. And like all three boys went like running down the hallway and just like jungle gymmed all over Kyle Kelly, just cause like they know Kyle and they've got to like, interact with him and just
Kyle's tall. You can jungle.
Yeah, that's true.
For
yeah.
Sure. I noticed they didn't open run invitation. To me. They're like, I'm already taller than
him. That's a little hurdle.
No, that's so sweet though. And what we're saying of like, so much of godliness, of course, needs to be taught, but is also caught in just seeing a person, and it's suddenly plausible to them. Oh, it's possible to be an older man, even, you know, for your kids looking to an 18, 20 year old and be like, they love Jesus, like, and that's beautiful. And so, man, so sweet.
Awesome.
One other thing I wanted to expand on the concept of, I talked a lot about passing on the faith. I didn't get too fancy with it, but the word for that is paradosis. Okay. So learning a new word, it's the and that refers to the intentional passing on of the faith tradition as being necessary for God's people. There's a guy named, I actually quoted him briefly, but or mentioned it, but Mark Sayers in his book Platforms to Pillars, which is where I got that pillar language from. Also talks about paradosis of in the church, people passing on the faith to next people is deeply important. He gets that from 1 Corinthians 11:2, which I'm going to flip to that I should have had beforehand. Here we go. Where he says, I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. And then you see already in our text the sincere faith that dwells in you as well. It's this continued tradition. And the word for tradition in 1 Corinthians 11:2 is what that word is translated as, paradosis, which means the passing on of something. And this is his quote. He says, throughout history, God's plan has included his people passing down knowledge and understanding of him from one generation to the next. And he says, one way to view secularism is a failure of paradosis, where people do not pass on the knowledge of God to the next generation. And so he's saying, hey, one of the reasons we are where we are now in our cultural moment is somewhere around the line in the last few generations, largely the faith failed to be passed on, you know. And of course, God is still faithful. He preserves his church. Gates of hell won't prevail against it. But to take seriously this concept of the faith tradition, and tradition implies the passing down of what matters. And when even a nation loses its sense of tradition and its institutions, and it deteriorates, and how much more so the church.
Yeah.
If we lose the tradition of why we believe the gospel, what becomes just assumed soon becomes lost.
Yeah.
And so to actually take seriously that idea. So if I had 10 more minutes, would have talked more about that. But so there was that. And then last thing is, Sam, we were just talking about this, is at the end I got to just share kind of the story of my dad and how God used an older woman in his life at a Bible study to impact him. And through that impact has impacted me, my family, ministry, and just thinking about like some of the guys I get to disciple and walk with don't even know it, but are also part of that legacy of like a woman they'll never know who was not on a platform, you know, but impacted somebody who impacted somebody who passed on the faith of somebody to now. And we were just talking about like, man, some of the people who that'll hear this who just like became first generation Christians from someone preaching the gospel to them or share them, they'll know where their faith kind of has come from.
Yeah.
And that's sweet too, because you have such a visual of like, I want to do what someone else did for me. But for those of you who like grew up in a family of faith and have always kind of by God's grace gotten to just be in a household of faith, you know, your parents love Jesus. I would encourage you, if your parents are still around, take a moment and do what I did. I gave my parents a phone call to ask about more of Jerry Knowles' story, whose story I shared, and to ask, I'd encourage you, like, the invitation is do the same thing, like explore the legacy of your own faith, because the chances are there's somebody who went out of their way to pour into your parents or your grandparents or wherever along the line, and that has now impacted you even if you don't know it. So like, pull that thread of salvation and be like, how did God use somebody pouring into, passing on the faith, modeling the faith that I don't even know but has changed my eternity? And that'd be a sweet way to spur even you on of like, how can I live this out?
Yeah,
what does
this
look like?
Yeah,
like,
that's sweet.
You know? And so just one last thing. So that's, we were just talking about that. And if I had a couple more minutes, would have encouraged them to do that. But
yeah, that's sweet. I've recently heard a story. It was shared about, it was like at a tent revival, and there was these like two young boys that wandered in that like didn't know anybody. And like, we were kind of looking around, didn't see space, and they had just turned to walk out. And then an usher, who like unknown usher, doesn't know who it is. Like, we don't know his name, chased the boys down and like brought them back in and found him a seat. Well, one of the boys was Billy Graham.
Oh my goodness.
And,
yeah.
Just that, like, whoa, that's nuts. And then the other was his friend who ended up being I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he was like the president of Billy Graham Ministries. Like, it was these two guys that just had like such an impact for proclamation of the gospel. And like, just because and unknown elder, like, or unknown usher chased them down and like found seat and like, just like, even that of like, that's like, we don't know the impact that like the genuineness of our faith will have on others, and just such a unique like continue to lay that on the altar and sacrifice our time and our intentionality to the Lord and just say, use me. So
that's a great story, because I had briefly encouraged, I think the sentence I said was like, you don't just need to like formally disciple people. It can be through just having eyes to see and care for the next generation. Yeah, like that's exactly that example. Like this ordinary faithfulness of an usher who wasn't like, God, you're going to use me to create the next great evangelist of the 20th century. Right. But it was just like, God, I see young people that I want to be involved here, chased them down, and God used that. And so it's like, man, be encouraged that in the little ordinary acts of your life, even if you aren't like, I can name five people who now like I've taught the whole Bible to, you know, maybe God, that's your, like that what God has for you, maybe not, but to be a person with eyes to see and care for the young people coming next. God can do incredible things through that. You know? So that's great. That's a great story.
I love it. Speaking of that, you gave a couple examples of people that have encouraged you just in your walk with the Lord. Maybe not even like intentionally like serving or reaching you, but just that you've seen like even in our church too, of just like faithfully giving of their time and just being of service to for the work of ministry, whatever that looks like in a bunch of different ways. And then I love just your call that we should consider what being a spiritual parent looks like to somebody else who needs it. And that sometimes that might be formal, that might be informal, just like putting our yes on the table. I love that. What, like, let's say somebody's maybe hearing this message for the first time today. Like, what might it actually look like to take a first step or two to, like, actually taking that seriously and living that out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll give you a couple thoughts and then maybe a word of wisdom or advice. So, number one, I'll just reiterate quick a couple steps I gave. It's like our children's and youth ministry could never use less leaders. And I think people – I don't know. I don't think we talk about the beauty of children's ministry enough. But again, I wonder how much God used Sunday school when I was little to just firm up my belief in the plausibility and truth of Christianity and just get a familiarity with like scripture that might not have been deep yet, but gave me the room to flourish later just because I was somebody who was around people teaching me simple biblical truths. So it's like your influence going day in and day out around 15 screaming three-year-olds has a bigger impact than you think. So it's like I'm pretty sure I can say maybe hopefully Ian Crosby will co-sign this so they could always use more kids volunteers. And so that's one step. Youth is another step, like walking with people year to year through their high school years. But I also
– real quick before we move on from that. With kids ministry and youth ministry, I think sometimes people get this idea of like, we're just going to throw you in a room with kids instead of like, good luck. Like there's intentional training and well thought out ministry approaches. And also like, I think our youth leaders, our kids volunteers get probably more out of their own personal growth than actually they themselves give to kids at times. And so like, if you're looking for that challenge of like, where can I be stretched or where can I maybe grow? Like that's a safe place for that. We're not asking our kids volunteers and youth leaders to like be know-it-alls and have like seminary theological degrees. If you do, that's great. We'd love to take you. But just that reality of like the best leaders, the best volunteers are the ones that are like humble and want to learn alongside kids and then maybe just be in that like, hey, there's going to be some spots where just like you're mature, maybe a level or two or three beyond them. And just that like example of steady, faithful commitment is something that will have a huge impact. So
yeah. And like people, they don't need you by yourself to explain to them all the nuances of theology or have every answer and be completely clean in your own like life. They just need somebody who's like, I'm alongside you. I'm modeling the faith for you. Even when I mess up, I'm authentic and I care about you for the long haul. And God just uses that. Yeah. It's like God uses ordinary Christians in people's lives so much more than like impressive platformed Christians. You know, that's like how God intended it. And so, just to encourage them to jump in on that opportunity or those opportunities, God could use it in incredible ways. A couple other examples just to, in our church to put some flesh on it. Like I know like – man, I don't know if people know John Begoon, you know, big mustache, really excitable guy, but had like identified a couple guys graduating SALT from our ministry, right, and had started a Romans study with them. And he just got a book. He doesn't need to like know all the answers. It's like, hey, let's work through this book by Tim Keller about Romans together. You know, there's that. Think about the Palmersheims, who God has used Feed a College Student Sunday in their lives to have some sweet stories. People they had invited and welcomed into their home that are now in their connection group, and actually a girl they invited into their home that ended up later needing a place to stay, and they were the first to be like, use our home, live here over the summer. That summer, I believe, is the summer she took Gospel 101 and was in our ministry, and she still is, but God also used the Palmersheims to have gospel conversations, and it was at that home that she came to know Christ and is now a student leader in our ministry, pursuing people at Co, praying for people at Co, just a dynamic might be the right wrong word, but just faithful, excited, zealous leader. Yeah. And it's just like these little steps of outside of your comfort zone of like both like having the open door to invite them into a launch, but saying it doesn't need to end here. Like, how can I be involved in your life, you know, beyond that, and pray for you and give you – and those little touch points, they add up over time to making it possible to have an impact. And that kind of leads to my word of encouragement, is that it's a lot easier to take those steps and have the room and ability to take those steps when you're involved in the life of our church already. Because as you're involved in the life of the church, you will often encounter the young people that are involved and want to be involved in the life of our church. And we can't, you know, make fringe people be involved. But if you're faithful, available, and teachable, and find – you will see the faithful, available, teachable students. We use the acronym FAT.
I know.
So it's like –
if you're fat and you see the – fat one, sorry.
No. There was – okay, really quick. Hopefully this is fun. We were just in our D group leader training last year. There was a person who's like, I was so confused at first because our college students were talking about like finding the fat people. And I was like, you can't call people that, and then just didn't know it was an acronym. Now they do, and it's all good.
Faithful.
A good – available. Teachable. Funny way to say it. Like, hey, if you're serving in the cafe, there are next gen people that serve in the cafe. If you want to faithfully – be involved on Sunday mornings, be in classes. You are going to find people. But if you're someone who kind of comes in, goes out, isn't involved, don't be shocked when you're like, well, I don't have a context to know how to take the next step. And so your next step might be a faithful local member of this church, see where you can serve and have an eye for faithful, available, teachable students that want to be coached. And so
let's get fat together.
It's like our fitness plan, but it's like, let's get fat together. Which leads us to our new church campaign. And if you call this number and donate to I'm just kidding. But yeah, so those are a few words of advice. And like, the hard thing about it is it can't be neatly just put into a system because people are people. But if you simply are like, I'm going to be a faithful person at this church, consistently have eyes to see who needs to be poured into in this church, and I'm willing to be patient and ordinarily faithful, there will be examples in your life where you can walk through doors. And I can't give you the 5-step plan for you personally, but I can tell you how that starts. And it's through committing to the life of this church, finding the young people committed to the life of this church, and then taking a step of boldness. So,
And I'd say one thing. I literally, though, I had somebody text me. I didn't look at the timestamp, but it was after your message, but already yet today, text me like, how can I find a college student? And I'm like, look around and like find a college. But then he's like, easier said than done. And it's like, okay, great. Find me.
Yeah.
And I will help you find some. And actually, I had somebody else, family came up and they're like, hey, we live in Mount Vernon. We want to intentionally reach out to Cornell students.
Yeah.
Can you help us maybe get connected with some of the leaders of the Cornell?
It's amazing. Like,
absolutely.
So take some initiative. So, you know, it's like what you're saying. And I'm glad they have. But to then be like, if you don't know, someone will. And just keep asking those questions, pursue people. And so that's great.
Sweet. Great. Anything else there? Ready for number 3?
We're rolling.
I thought you said you didn't have much.
You and I just kind of get talking, you know?
This is fantastic. I think we usually set the records.
Yeah, I think we feed off each other. Right. Where it's like, oh, that's a great thought. And suddenly we're having fun. So
I think we should probably just have our own Sam and Danny in the morning.
In the morning.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Danny, what's the balance? What's the balance just between being poured into, taking our faith seriously, but also knowing that like we need to pour out into others? So we already kind of talked this, but like part of our growth involves like being stretched and put into spots where we're uncomfortable and maybe not feeling like we're the most equipped. So like what's kind of the balance there? What's that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the fun answer is that those two things actually mutually like reinforce each other in that the more you are poured into in a right way and you're growing in the faith, poured into by mentors, your connection group, the Sunday morning, faithfully reading the word, like you will be shaped into a person more ready to pour out. We talk about a lot on staff the importance of ministering from the overflow. Yeah. Like there's two ways to pour out. You can pour out when nothing's pouring into you and sooner or later that's kind of drained, or you can pour out because it's just overflowing, like God's grace in your life, your love for the Lord, that it can't help but spill out. And that's what we're after. And I'm just working through this image in my head in real time, so I don't know if it'll make complete sense, but bear with me. But it's almost kind of like a trellis and a vine, where if you want a vine to grow, it grows alongside the stability of something else. And the vine, if that's, you know, your ability to like pour out and you want that to flourish, it grows on the trellis of people planting, pouring into you, of a firm foundation, you know? And so I would just say, ask the question, how can I pass on what's been passed on to me? It's a great way to minister from the overflow. What's something someone taught me that changed my life that I would love to let someone else know? You know, and ask questions like that. But the more you are growing as a disciple of Christ, the more you will inevitably make disciples of Christ. And so I think look for the ways you should still be poured into when you're 80. We never stop learning. You know, Paul continued to run the race and said, I have not yet made it my own, but I pursue Christ who made it his own, right? We never stop running. But also as you're running, you have the opportunity to say, who can I encourage behind me to run the pace behind me as I'm running? And so those two things I think just mutually enforce each other. Take some uncomfortable steps. Keep being poured into as you pour out, and God's going to do something sweet your life.
Yeah, that's sweet. All right, Danny, this was great. I'm super encouraged. I felt, you know, I feel like there's some sermons you end and you're like, it's kind of like, what, did we just have a William Wallace moment? Like, I'm ready to like storm the field and like run into this next semester. So
that's cool.
I just love that we, you know, took the time to not just jump right into something and get going, but I think just shaping that vision for us as a church. And again, like, it's, I also love that it's not like there's like a, and here's how you can sign up to like,
right,
you know, like there's not this, like, there are clear next steps and there's things, but also just like, it's more of a, I feel like it's more of like, just
like a posture,
a booster,
yeah,
where
yeah.
we're like, hey, this is a reminder. This is who we are. This is what's been entrusted to us. And I think the antidote to like our cultural moment of just like individualism, like so much about like internal focus, like lift our eyes and focus on God the prize, and really how can we come alongside other people and encourage them in their walks.
Yeah, well said.
I think that was a very well-timed message, and just pray that that blesses our church for, you know, weeks, months, and years to come. So,
yeah, may it be.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Praise God. Well, thanks again, church. No listener questions, because obviously nobody was like Johnny on the spot. Like,
on the email, yeah.
but again, if you do want us to address a question, send those in. We've got the form that you can get in our, you know, Veritas Weekly emails that go out, or also just link there in the digital program that you can get access to on the website and through the app. But again, just a reminder, Danny, so big idea language you had for us is that being a next generation church means laboring to pass on the faith and living as a model of the faith. Would that be true of us? Would that be true of our church? And would there be future generations that would be continuing to proclaim the same message of Jesus Christ that we're proclaiming now, all for God's glory? So thanks for joining us, Danny. Church, we love you. Join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.